And we welcome you back, finally, inside the Sports Ethos Sacramento Kings podcast. Yes, it is me, Sam Cavente, here with you alongside, as always, the incomparable and all-knowing Jill Adge. Guys, it's been like 3 weeks, 2.5 weeks, something like that, that we've done this episode. And me and Jill were just catching up before we went on. And, you know, stuff has changed. Jill was enjoying a much-earned vacation in Disneyland with her family, with her niece, having a blast. I started a new job reporting, and I moved into a new house with a buddy of mine. So we're grabbing life big by things. The horns and riding on. Yeah. We're getting into 2022 with better vibes. And now we're shifting to something that isn't very much a good vibe. And that's the Sacramento Kings.
We treated ourselves during this, bad time.
I was a lot happier. I don't know if that's a coincidence.
We have to do what we have to do to keep our mental,
states
positivity,
mental positivity. I can only imagine, you know, how like James Hamm and Morgan Reagan and those guys are
bad every day having to say the same thing. I know they're awesome. Yeah,
they are great and they can't escape it like we can. But the Kings are playing right now, actually, as we're recording this on this Wednesday night. They are beating the Pistons in Detroit, which
by four.
Okay. Last time I checked, there was up 12. Now it's actually 93 night, but Jill's streaming it, so I'm going to spoil it a little bit for her. It's 93-92 as we're talking.
Oh, wow. I know I have to turn back to the TV. But
sorry,
yeah.
Jill. I'm ruining it. I won't look at my
phone. I have a feeling it's going to happen right now.
Yeah, and then the Kings I'm going to bet you the Kings call a timeout.
Yep, there it went. As soon as I said that, Kelly Olynyk.
Yep.
Dagger.
Kelly Olynyk.
His first game back.
Is that right? Yeah, he hasn't played in a while. The last time the Kings were in Detroit and played the Pistons. Actually, they're not in Detroit. They're in Sacramento, right?
Tonight
they're in Sacramento. Yes. The last time they played the Pistons, that was actually Luke Walton's last win as a Kings coach. So at least he went out on top, beating the dynastic Detroit Pistons. But we're not going to really talk about the Kings right now. I mean, we'll play along with the game as it goes. They're 18-28. They've lost 7 of their last 10.
I think it's a good reminder of what we're going to be talking about, right? Because you're barely beating a bad team. And Fox was like at the end of the first half had as many points as like the rest of the team. I mean, so, you know, I mean, it just goes to show to me that you can say what you want about him, but the surrounding pieces to me are much, you know, more the issue than anything he has or has not done while he's been a Sacramento King. So.
No, he's been playing with a fire ignited under him, it seems, after these trade rumors have picked up, if you will. I'm not sure if they really have so much as we're 3 weeks away tomorrow. 3 weeks from tomorrow is the trade deadline, February 10th. So now that the wheels are churning a little bit more, news is spinning, and De'Aaron Fox's name is involved. And today, we'll start here, I guess, Jill. We heard that there is buzz, and talks between the Sixers and the Kings. We probably already knew that, though, did we not? That Daryl Morey was going to be talking to his former confidant, Monty McNair?
Correct. And as we know, he's talking to there were like 30 names on his magic list. You know, and the Kings have kind of been a steady name, them, Minnesota, Pacers. Mm-hmm. It's the same old teams that you're kind of hearing about. Detroit was even one of them, right, with Grant and all that. Hurt. Yeah, but I mean, and even Fox's own comments yesterday, I mean, to me, kind of even kickstarted all of it, where he had mentioned he had talked to the front office and that they have kind of mutually agreed they would like to keep working together and keep building around him and Halliburton. But they also mutually agree that what is going on right now isn't working and that nothing's off the table. It's a business. And at the end of the day, you have to do what you have to do. And so, I mean, I think the only thing we've kind of got a confirmation on is that everyone's on the table as they should be, you know, on a bad team. Everyone, you know,
one's up for grabs.
It everyone's on the table doesn't mean someone's getting traded. It just means you're listening to everything. I mean, that's and yes, that can make it hard because there's a human element, right? Like guys are playing every night now, not knowing, you know, is this going to be their last night? Is this what, you know, I mean, and it's already happening with, you know, add COVID on top of that. They're already doing that right now between the testing and everything else. Is this going to be the last game I play before I have to go out in protocols? You know, and it's in, again, you're seeing it league wide where it seems to be really hard for any team right now, maybe besides Memphis, to get any kind of cohesion going.
And they just lost tonight
between teams. I mean, you're seeing it even with a team like the Jazz last year, which, you know, were barely beat. The Warriors are on kind of a downtick. Like, everyone's feeling it because everyone's constantly getting and losing people in their rotations. Like, there's no set harmony, and that makes it really even more so difficult to me for bad teams than the teams with stars, and they just have enough talent where it doesn't matter and they can figure it out. Or you're throwing out guys that are all just playing for their careers. That's, you know what I mean? And the Kings don't really fit any of those. So they're just kind of still in this group that just doesn't work still. And the hard part, I think, is that we all want trades to be made, right? Or we want some shakeups. Well, depending on who you talk to, no one can figure out if they want the big shakeup or the small shakeup. Well, if you want the big shakeup, you can't be demanding a move right now because the big shakeups require the salary, right? And unfortunately, if you're working with the Pacers or the Sixers right now, they have a lot to sort through and they can wait till the end, right? Like, they don't, there's no reason necessarily for them to make a deal right now and not wait until the end, right? Not wait till the complete deadline. Where the Kings are in that hard spot where can they wait until February 10th? Or do they have to accept plan B, C, whatever, and admit that maybe Buddy, Bagley, Barnes, you know, I'm just thinking of like the bigger salary names,
right?
Tristan's. Do you have to move to plan B or C with those because you want to make a move quicker? Because right now you need those salaries to be able to do a Pacer or a Sixers deal, right? Like, it's salary wise, you need them.
Right.
But can they afford to wait two, 3 weeks until February 10th? They're in a no-win situation. Right? Like, you want moves now, but the moves now aren't necessarily there if that's your plan A, you know what I mean? And so, because once you move on from that, like, then you're moving away from most likely a Pacers or Sixers, unless you're maybe a third team. You're not necessarily getting one of those, star pieces if the asking price is still, you know, a Fox, a Halliburton, plus the other salaries.
Guys, we want to get rid of Buddy, Barnes.
Or yeah.
Some people don't want to get a Barnes, but I do think Barnes deserves to be
and
somewhere
so
else.
So it's really hard to know right now. Like, again, we all want change, but you might not be able to get it yet if, you know what I mean? Like, if they are completely stuck, that's their A and they're waiting for their A, and not pivoting to, a B, C, you know, D type, situation. Because right now it seems like the Kings know what they want again, but it takes the other team to say, I'm willing to take that as of this moment. And so far that's not happening. And so it is what it is. Like, you can't force it.
We had a three-team trade yesterday. It was like, I think the first three-team trade of the year, of trading season. It was, nobody really cared, Jill, because it was a bunch of bench players or guys that were injured in Bol Bol, who's, I think, injured. And so it was like, I saw a three-team trade pop up on my phone.
To me, it was Denver moving on to plan B, right? Because they had the Magruder, right? They wanted that kind of guard wing shooter, and they just moved to plan B, guard wing shooter.
And it was, I got excited that I saw a three-team trade, and then I read who was in it, and I was like, I don't care about this. Give me something exciting.
Yeah.
Which is what we're all saying, right? Just do something, Monty McNair, and then we can talk about it, and we will maybe start feeling hopeful if it's like a trade that shakes this team to its core in a good way, or I guess anyway.
Yeah, unfortunately, you just have big salary fillers. It's if you want that home run, you're not going to get it right now. You know, you're going to have to wait it out. And even then, it still might not happen.
Which it's crazy that they've been waiting it out, not on purpose, I don't think, but they have. And they're still.
I mean, because you saw him pivot this summer, right, with Buddy. Like, and to me, that even said more so that we're willing to move Barnes, because you'd have to use Barnes in any kind of big salary deal then, if that was part one of, you know, making more more moves. But yeah, I mean, that's other than that.
They're still in the 10th, or they're still, it came out of the 10th seed, even though they keep losing. They don't want to make the play-in, but they're right fucking there.
Clear, right? Like, he wants to make a deal. It's just, he gets used.
Yeah, well, because he's shown his hand, you know,
like every other case. Well, he didn't show that hand though. That was the Lakers that showed that hand. There was nothing he could do about it. I mean, he said yes.
Well, they're also desperate.
Harrell said yes.
They know they're desperate.
But you need the Lakers to sign on the line, and LeBron said, I want player B instead of player A. Like, that's, I mean, there's nothing Monty can do about that. I mean, he had to wait for Montrez to say yes. And then LeBron, and he said yes, both said Kings and him said yes. And then, you know, even the Lakers side, they very much admitted to it that, yeah, Sacramento thought the deal was done. And then we kind of, you know, sorry, Sid. I mean, and that can happen to any GM. Like, I don't knock Monty for that, because that can happen to, I mean, that could happen to anyone. If Russell Westbrook, you know what I mean? Like, if it's Buddy versus Russell Westbrook, yes, everyone's saying it should have been Buddy now and they regret it. Mm-hmm. But again, like, there's nothing the Kings LeBron could friend. Have. Right. And that's, that trumps anything that, anyone's gonna do. But I do think I had said this today too, that all the deals, all the trades that have got done were the ones that were not talked about on Twitter, and they just happened, right? It's when the other teams use the Kings, and again, the Kings can't, like, there's nothing they can do about that.
There's a lot of logistics, obviously, and things that would need to happen. Three team trades, salaries being moved, excess guys being thrown in. But Jill, it seems, and we, again, this is not new news, but Sabonis and Ben Simmons are the two names we keep hearing again and again and again, linked to the Kings. Those are the guys. If you want to take one of them, you get one of them. Who do you want?
To me, it still depends on what you're giving up.
Who do you want, Jill? Just give me who you want.
I would take either. Like, I'm not picky. Yeah. This is what makes me mad too, is it's like, I really don't care. They're both great players.
Yeah.
I mean, I would gladly take either, but to me, it comes up, what do you have to give for each one? Because to me, that also will sway who you want. Right. And if you actually get them, do you have the pieces to be able to make more moves to go along with it? Because these can be your step ones. That's fine. But you still, again, we've had step ones here, but then we never do anything along, you know, to mesh with those players. Cool. Get another all-star. That's fine. But you still need to add talent around them to actually, otherwise you're just another team. Like, right. We're where we are now, you know, you were last year, right? Yeah. Like last year, Fox was playing at an all-star level last year. Everybody was saying it. National media was saying it. But nobody else was around him. This year, he's not playing as well. I mean, recently he is, but over the full year, he's not, but no one else is either. So again, like, you can replace him with somebody else, but you still have the same pieces that aren't working either. So, you know, that are not consistent. Putting one of those players in here, to me, isn't going to fix an offense or a defensive problem with the rest of this group, or shooting problem, which this group has. So again, like, I will gladly take any of those players, But to me, it's just one little piece of a puzzle that you need to move. To me, one move isn't going to fix anything. You need to be able to make multiple moves under it. Otherwise, I just don't see a needle move.
Yeah. And I don't think that the Kings would operate with the idea that we're going to make one big trade and stop there. I think if they go all in, they're going to go all in and they're going to.
Oh, no. Yeah. But if you give everything up for that one person,
right,
then what do you have to make those other moves?
How do you pivot? Yeah. Yeah, true. It's a good point. You can't sell all your assets at once.
It's not a free, you know, to me, it's not necessarily a free agent seller, like either one of those players that's going to lure people in here. Mm-hmm. How many draft picks did you give away for it? Or how much are they protected? Did you give away all your big salary money? Or expirings, like do you still have those to move? Do you know what I mean? Like, so to me, it's hard to even pick one of those ones without knowing what the next steps are. And I know that's not a fun answer, but I just don't think either one necessarily
answer.
Moves a needle without doing other things. And depending on what you have to give up for them, you might eliminate yourself being able to make more moves unless you could somehow get both of them. I mean, I don't know. Is there a way to get both of them with all that money? If you can work in 3-team deals, 4-team deals, to where enough pieces move around. And then you can give up some, you know, more picks and things like that.
How do you fit those two guys on a team? Two lefty big guys, one who's a center, one who's better as a forward, but likes the ball.
If you really wanted the splash, or if you could add one with Grant, you know what
sure.
I mean? Like if I just think that there needs to be more to it,
right?
Like they might sell some tickets in their interim because you got yourself a bigger name, but, yeah.
Yeah. It's,
do you have a preference?
Sabonis, I think I'd prefer Sabonis cause he fills a bigger need. And I don't know. I think you could potentially, I don't want to say it, because it's too good to be true, but I think you could potentially get them without giving up Fox and Haliburton. You'd give up Mitchell, you give up Hield, you give up Bagley, you'd give up a first round pick, maybe another first round pick. But Sabonis would fill a huge need, and I think you could fit them in there a little bit better. Simmons, you get Simmons, Jill, you're getting rid of Fox or Haliburton, you're getting rid of one of them. I don't know if I want to do that still. I mean, I don't know. I go back and forth on this one with Simmons, but you also haven't had the guy play all year, so you don't really know how he's going to be, what condition he's in.
Right. Right.
Is his shot still broken? I don't know how it'd be fixed if he's not playing in games. I don't care how many times he's shooting in the gym and posting videos about him making these shots. Go do it, the dude on you. Go do it in the heat of a moment, the heat of a game. So yeah, I would lean towards Sabonis. I know they're going to make the big trade. That's what excites me, I guess, keeps me a little bit interested in this team.
They know they want to.
Yeah,
let's go
true.
There because I mean, I'm still not fully convinced that Morey doesn't just
keep him.
Bite the bullet and hope if Harden really is going to become available, like it's being speculated right now, I could see them trying to use Simmons in a sign and trade for Harden. I mean, that could still very much happen over the offseason. If that's another big name he's waiting for, which he tried to trade. You know what I mean? Last year, Houston and them almost made that deal that would have sent Simmons to Houston and Harden to Philadelphia. If what the statements out there are true, that he's open to going there, I could still see him being stubborn and holding on to that piece. If he thinks there's really a chance that you could get a Dame, Beal still hasn't signed his extension, and then you could have Harden like. And those are bigger names than anything that the Kings could offer. So it's you'd have to have Embiid on board with admitting that they probably won't win this year and that he just has to, you know, bust it out.
Keep doing his
but
thing.
There's also the thing where if Harden's going to be available, then I could see them much more trying to move Harris and getting that money off the books. And would that be someone's plan B? I don't know. Or if he could move the money from Simmons and and to bias off the books into to smaller pieces. That's where the Kings could have some leverage there. But it's, again, it's hard to know because you're hearing something different out of Philadelphia every day. And everyone's just waiting
that's
on
Philly
that.
Media. And
does everyone keep waiting for them? Because right now that's what's holding everybody up, because everyone's hoping they could be that third, fourth team, or be one of the select teams that has been trying to trade him this whole time. Unfortunately, he's kind of holding the cards, and is everyone else going to keep waiting around for it? Or are they just going to say F it at this point and start doing their own deals?
Who would have thought that Morey, a guy from Houston who was just known to make the flashy move, to make the big move, would then go to Philadelphia and become the most stubborn, persistently like, go fuck yourself, piss off, I don't want to do business. Like, he's just like, it's done a one. And it's not that he doesn't want
your four first round draft picks are not enough.
Yeah, right. Yeah. He just became like so anti-trade. It seems, you know, he's going to make a trade at some point, but it's just not the same guy. And McNair has also been like that, of course. And that was a surprise to all of us, because the first reaction we all had when we heard McNair was the GM was, oh shit, this guy's from Houston. He's worked under Morey. Well, they're going to blow this team up. They're going to trade everybody. And he's going to trade again and trade again. He's made like one trade. Crazy. Not what we expected.
And I think it's deceiving that he's had more than I think we think, just because they've been so small that they haven't been really anything. But he's had, a handful of trades. But that, you know, and that's the other thing about, you know, Gupta right now, you know, that he's taken over, right, the interim of Minnesota, and he comes under that, and his thing is being really creative on the trade, you know, the trades in general, right? And so
he's the trade machine guy.
And that's the other, you know, kind of team that, you know, has been targeting Simmons as well. And are they going to adjust, because they're on a nice streak right now, and they're playing well under Finch. And so does something happen there? You have Grant still open for business from what we know. I would still think Houston has people open for business. We know that the Blazers have people open for business. So, we know Montrezl Harrell is available again with the Wizards now, as an expiring for somebody. And what's interesting about the Pacers too, is if, I don't know if anyone's actually paying attention to what their owner is saying. We all know what the GM has said, right, when all that stuff came out, but the owner has done some radio and written interviews, and he contradicts what the GM says again. So it's like, it's very similar to what, you know, you're kind of seeing here and what you've seen there, and that you have guys, you know, GMs maybe having ideas, but at the end of the day, you still have owners that say yes or no to this stuff too. And so that can very well play into who's available and who's not. Like, we know Sabonis is out there, but the owner is also saying, like, we're not taking scraps, and he doesn't want picks. Like, he actually wants legitimate talent back and something of a quick rebuild. So again, like, that limits, you know, what you're able to offer and what they think is actual talent. Like, I mean, we all scream that we want our guys traded because we don't think they're good, or at least they're not good here. Well, plenty of other people could think that they wouldn't be good on their team either. But our guys are getting paid a shit ton more money than some of these other names that are being thrown around. And so that therein lies the problem. You have to have teams that want to take their money. You know, in addition to their play. So we are an overpaid bad team, and
that's the worst combination,
you know, but then expect the world in return for that. So, which is why that Laker deal would have been so good. Dang you, LeBron and Westbrook
and LA, the lure. 'Cause
I think
LA.
There would be things a lot, you know, things would be different. And damn the person that tweeted Woj.
I can't wait for
DiVincenzo. So it's like,
I can't wait for, oh yeah, I can't wait for Woj bomb season. We haven't reached there yet. Quick update on the
Kings.
There's even
talks that Dante could be available. So, I mean, who knows?
Circle back.
So, you know, you just never know.
Shout out Terrence Davis having a huge game. He's got 32 points for the Kings. He's also shot 21 times, but you know what? Plus 17, 6 3-pointers. We'll take that, TD3. De'Aaron's also had another great game.
A Mitchell three. I know I'm late to the party there, but
I didn't spoil it. Rashawn Holmes has been I'll say it, Jill. I'm going to stir the pot here. I would just like to tweet from David Williams, who does a podcast about the Grizzlies on Sports Ethos, about how, you know, I like to jump on here and just throw out random takes on Twitter, hot takes. Rashawn Holmes has not been good this year, and he's been hurt, and he's hurt his eyes. And
I don't think
stuck.
He's ever been able to get a rhythm.
No, he hasn't. Yeah, but it's such a disappointment because he's such a great player and a fun guy, and he's just not
he was good
the
at
dude.
The beginning of the year, if you remember.
For
he was
eye.
Good at the beginning of the year, and then he got the injuries and COVID. I mean, everything else that could COVID. Go wrong went wrong, and he's never been able to get a rhythm back. It's like as soon as he's back out again, and so you're just never going to get an NBA rhythm when that happens. There were games at the beginning where he was lighting it up. Mm-hmm. Across the thing. So I will say that I'll give him credit at the beginning.
No, I agree. I love her.
But since that happened,
how could you hate him?
But at least, hey, we got him on a good deal. So, I mean, he's not getting paid what the other guys are getting paid. And not getting the rhythm. So I'll give him that at least.
Yeah.
But it's been hard to see because he finally, you know, got that and was excited for it. And as a player, you know, that's not what you envision. Right. Mm-hmm. And I feel bad because his mom keeps having to tweet out, like, leave her alone.
Yeah. That's so weird. Weird.
Guys, this is a game. Okay. Do not go after family. Like, regardless of what's being said, like, it's a game. And that's like the last family you should be going at either. I mean, like, come on. We're better than this, right? Like, I would like to think we're better than this.
Apparently, we're not. Some of us, so, not us, but some of us.
Hot takes, totally cool. But I mean, stop DMing and tweeting her, you know, his mom shit about him. Like, that's just weird.
Leave the doctor alone. The doctor is not in. to close this out here, Jill. Trade talks. Just to recap, of course. Jill Saint should take either Sabonis or Simmons. I'll take Sabonis, but regardless, we both are just itching for a trade. Everyone is. Everyone that follows the Kings wants something to happen, waiting, just like staring at the clock, you know, like you're in class and you're waiting for the bell to ring. And you're just staring, waiting for that thing to happen. That's what we're doing. We're waiting for something to happen. And then looking ahead for the Kings, 5-game East Coast road trip. Bucks on Saturday, Celtics on Tuesday, Hawks on Wednesday. So a double or a back-to-back. Saturday again against the Sixers, and then Monday against the Knicks. Jill, they could lose all 5 of those games. I expect them to lose all 5 of those games. That's where I am in this season.
Which is going to be really interesting.
I won't watch one of those games either.
Which will be interesting to see if they have to pivot out of their only those two players, right? Mm. Because as Amick has said, and we've heard this every year, regardless of who's the GM, the pressure is there of playoffs or bust. Whether you agree with it or not, that is the pressure that is being put on the GM. Yes, he said it at the beginning of the year. Great. That was his vision, as most GMs do, right?
Yeah.
But there are plenty of GMs that are able to say that goal is not possible now, and now I need to pivot and go in another direction. That is not possible here from what we are being told.
No.
And if it does happen, we will all be completely shocked. But the pressure from up top is playoffs or bust. And so will these 5 games, I mean, if those 5 games go that bad and they're even farther out of that playoff contention, like
what happens?
It's going to be interesting.
What happened?
But I will say Brett Huff had a great comment today, at least to me on Twitter, that he doesn't think the Kings will ever be able to rebuild the right way until they get this monkey off their back, because that is what this owner has wanted for the last 8 years. And we've seen the same exact thing for the last 8 years. So why do we think something's going to be any different regardless of who's holding the seat, right? Like that's, it is what it is.
Right.
And if something changes other than that, great. I think most of us would be completely fine with that, because at least they at least chose a direction finally, or at least they chose and got on. What do we keep saying? They chose a direction. Not only abandoned. That, they got on the road to that direction. And this is the one that we see is they've picked their direction, but they've never actually done anything to actually get on the road to start going that way. And so, so far right now, what we're being told is it's still playoffs are best. And so, each game they lose adds more and more pressure.
McNair starts sweating in his office. 10 games, Jill. I just counted it. Thankfully, that wasn't too much to count. 10 games after tonight's game against the Pistons, which they're winning right now as we're talking about this. 10 games from the trade deadline. They play February 9th. So they play the day before the trade deadline. Don't play on the trade deadline, February 10th, which I think that's right. It's like I psych myself out every time when I talk about the trade deadline in the NBA. But yeah, they have some time to either fucking fall off, which I just think they will, or somehow pull off some big upsets. Because the only real easy matchup, easy in these next 10 games before the deadline, is the Thunder. They play the Thunder at home, but they already lost to the Thunder earlier this year, and they can lose to anybody at any time. So I'm not counting the Thunder off.
Yeah.
And then the Hawks and the Knicks have obviously both underperformed this year. So those are guys that are struggling as well. The Hawks especially are having a rough year, but a lot of adversity they've had to deal with. Not an easy slate, never a push, never an easy.
Yeah. And if Collins is still really available,
go get John Collins.
That's a name that Monty's been linked to since he first got here too. I mean, I just don't know that they have anything necessarily that the Hawks want, but you never know. But that's, you know what I mean? Like, so I still think that there are names that they're out there interested in. We're not hearing, obviously, but it's because we're only hearing about the Pacers and the Sixers and Grant. Like, those are the three big names. But even Collins was being used in the other talks. And so,
right.
I mean, other than that, like, those are the big names we're hearing right now, because those are kind of the domino names. So just know not everything is leaked. And just because things aren't leaked doesn't mean they're just sitting on their ass. Like,
right.
Be realistic, guys. I know we're all frustrated, but I mean, come on. I mean, I just get tagged in the, he must be sitting there doing nothing. He's probably sleeping or swimming. And I'm like,
swimming.
Like, I don't need that in my mentions. Like,
play football.
Come on.
Football guy, Monty McNair. Apparently not a basketball guy just yet.
Yeah. He's watching tonight.
Yeah, he will be on Saturday, I'm sure. Great game of football. Great games for football this weekend. And shout out to my Raiders for putting up one hell of a fight this year, despite all the adversity.
They did.
Not upset that, well, I'm upset that they lost, I won't lie. But I'm happy that it happened, not sad that it's over, or whatever the saying is. It is actually about relationships, not your love for a football team. But good luck to the Niners. Jimmy G, Italians always look out for each other. And then I think
with
that's
his sprain with his thumb and his sprained shoulder.
And then knowing that he's not going to have the job next year because it's already Trey Lance's, which is just a whole funny, weird
the whole thing. Yeah.
Situation. Like, why are you even playing? Like, why even care if you're Jimmy Garoppolo? But the man
for that next contract, man.
Yeah, that's true. Playing for his value too. He's trying to get somewhere good or feel wanted. All right. That'll do it for us on this first episode back. Sports Ethos. Schedule is going to be different, guys. We're going to try and be consistent. It's really me. It's nothing to do with Jill. Jill will do this on the moon if she could. It's just me figuring out my schedule now that I work long days at the news. And so get a little burnt out, but we'll be on talk about Kings, especially as we get close to the deadline. So stay tuned, follow us, like us on Twitter. Follow us on Twitter. Follow Jill. You don't need to follow my stupid things that I retweeted something about iCarly yesterday. That's my Twitter page. It's like SpongeBob memes.
Hey, we got to spice it up. Okay.
We're doing, yeah. Our pages definitely look different, yours and I. That's for sure. I'm definitely a child. But anyway, till next time, guys. Thanks for listening. Slater, dudes.